Poorly Read.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah, okay, so I want you to say that.
Oh, fucking hell, I forgot about this.
Just me and the things I make us do. Yeah. Okay, so I want you to say that like you are repeating back to me the pizza order I've placed with you over the phone.
Okay, so that's hello and welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read with a Side of Gravy.
Yes, thanks. Yeah, the comedy podcast where we talk about fucking whatever we want these days. But sometimes it includes books.
Yes,
there we go.
Loosely themed around Harry Potter for season one.
Oh god. Should we tell them what happened today or not? Because it is quite funny when you think about
it. I know, it is. So... So today is, because it's, you know, we're quarantined with nothing to do, we've got a lot of time to record. So we've got quite far in advance. So although I think this episode's coming out on the 3rd of June, it's the 20th of April for us, hashtag 420 blaze it. And but to me, that was the only significance that date had. I actually put up yesterday, but a thing on Instagram, which included a little Auschwitz joke. You know,
it's just a little friendly Auschwitz.
As we are wont to do here at Poorly Read.
Oh, God. Yeah, and funnily enough, we got a lot of backlash on the post.
Yeah, yeah. There was a little bit of a kerfuffle in the comments. And then I went to open Instagram, see what the latest, I don't know, wisdom was underneath the post. And I got a notification from Instagram saying it's been taken down because it violates the terms of service for promoting hate speech.
And we were like, what?
It didn't promote hate speech.
No, not at all, actually. And then, so we were taken aback by this, as you can imagine. And then...
Upon research.
And then, Tom discovered that not only was it Holocaust Memorial Day in Israel, I said to Tom, oh, Tom, do you know what day it is? It's Hitler's birthday.
Yes, it's Hitler's birthday. It's also, and I apologize for pronouncing this wrong, Yom HaShoah. Which is, yeah, like Holocaust Memorial Day. Now, I didn't know this. Still, though.
Yeah. So we coined the term. It was a bit of a lemony.
It was a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah.
We got ourselves in a right old snicket.
God, snicket sounds so hateful, doesn't it?
Snicket.
Yeah.
Does it? I think it sounds quite playful.
Snicket.
Yeah.
No, I feel like it sounds the like sequence of like phonetics sounds too much like the M word, I feel.
for me, it's just like charming stall banter. Ah, you are. Take
yeah,
us
well,
home.
Yeah, you would say that, would you, Tom?
So that was that's an amusing thing that happened today.
Yeah, that was an amuse-bouche.
Yes.
That was a lovely palate cleanser, wasn't it, Tom? Ah, alas. Yeah, it's okay, though. Me and Tom, we're not... Believe it or not, me and Tom don't promote hate speech.
No.
Oh,
no,
God.
We make fun of hate speech quite a lot.
Yeah, we're just two wangs who find it funny to say the most shocking thing we can. And alas, this is where it leads us. Oh, well, let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things on 420. Let's talk about... songs. Okay, so what are we talking about today, Tom? What a marvellous contraption. Not contraption. don't know, how could a book be a contraption? I guess if it was like a mechanical book.
The Monster Book of Monsters? Well, that's kind of a creature, I guess.
Yeah, but what if that book was like made by the villain from like Wild Wild West? Then I feel like it'd be a contraption.
Right, yeah. Sure.
Do you remember Wild Wild West?
I haven't really seen it, but I know that there's a big mechanical spider or something at the end.
It's like the worst film ever. But it's got a great song, that's all that matters. Do you remember like the 90s when fucking movies had great theme songs? Like that was like a whole thing.
Yeah, and I feel like Will Smith really went in hard on that. He was really the pioneer of that, the movie theme song.
I guess so. I can't remember the last movie theme song I remember. Maybe it was... Oh, I don't know. It's boring. Anyway, so what book are we talking about today, Tom?
Well, we're talking about Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and we're starting off with Chapter 7, The Slug Club.
The Slug Club. Whose club? Slug's club.
Yes, the Club de Slug.
What is slug in French?
Oh, I don't know.
Slug.
Le slug. I mean, snail is escargot, famously.
Escargot?
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard that term before. Isn't that like the name of a drink as well?
No, it's the name of a, usually like a starter or something in a restaurant, and it's snails.
That's rank.
Yep.
But hey, customs, cultures, which we respect all of.
Yeah.
Oh god, so Harry is a fucking furiously pondering what Malfoy was up to. He's like, oh, quack, 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 quack. Oh, maybe that's what we should call masturbation for now, when he's pondering.
He was furiously pondering.
Yeah. Oh, what? Yeah, actually, you know, just having a ponder.
Have we coined a term for masturbation yet? Coined plenty of terms for coming.
Okay, well, should we coin three right now? So we've got pondering, scheming, and crocheting. There we go. So what's your nan doing over the Easter break? She's crocheting. Yeah, she did it with one hand.
She does love scheming as well.
It's weird though, whenever she schemes, she leaves her trail on the banister. It's weird. Ew. Do you remember those adverts for like non-slip rugs? That they would always have like a woman like who had like a rug on like a newly varnished floor, and she would like slip and fall, and he'd be like, oh, you know what you need? New non-slip rugs. And that was like a big thing for like older people. And I was like, who the fuck? Why would you have a rug there anyway?
I don't remember that advert.
These are like infomercials on cable TV, like after like...
See, that's just... You just switched into American language there. Infomercials on cable TV. Where are you from?
Yeah, I was born in London, Tom. Yes, I was born in Paddington, where the bear is from.
You weren't born in Paddington.
No, I was born in fucking Newham General, mate, in fucking heart of East London. I really was.
Yeah, well, no, that I can believe.
Yeah. Yeah, that I can believe. Oh, dear. Anyway, yeah, so he's convinced that Malfoy's up to no good.
Yes, he was super concerned about what Malfoy was up to in Borgin and Burks, and Ron and Hermione don't really give a shit.
God, this is like the beginning of a fucking book-long refusal to believe anything that Harry says about anything, which seems so out of character to me, because like at this point, wouldn't you just trust the boy who lived?
Yeah, I mean, people have said that he's wrong so many times and then been wrong themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, expect to hear me lots of... That's really bad English, I apologise. Expect to hear me sound exasperated a lot throughout this book.
More than usual.
Yeah, I might create, like, a whole new range of sighs. Like, ugh, and ugh, and that sounds like I've got corona.
Yeah, Harry concludes that Malfoy's become a Death Eater and that it was his dark mark he was showing Borgin in the shop. And the others are all like, no, Harry, no.
I don't think it was Harry. I think he was just showing him his dead foreskin. And I was like, what's a dead foreskin? It's like, well...
Well, we all know Malfoy was circumcised. But did you know he carries it around with him on a chain?
Yes, it's all blackened, Harry, but it's got magic powers, you see. And Harry's like, wow, what's it do? And Miley's like, just makes you throw up in your mouth and if you look at it.
A surprisingly useful little charm, that.
Here, smell my dead foreskin. Yeah. 10 points to Slytherin. Oh, my God. So they go downstairs. They're back at the burrow. And fucking Flem is in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They spend the last few days at the burrow witnessing Molly try not to fucking smack Fleur square in the chops.
Yeah, Fleur's just talking about her wedding, like, non-stop.
Yeah.
And, like, what? She's like, oh, Ginny and Gabriella will be bridesmaids. I want to dress them up as,
She's a vampire, apparently.
I want to dress them up in, I want to dress them up as Victorian harlots. Molly's like... I mean, I'd rather you not, but it is your wedding day.
Let's count them, Molly. One bridesmaid, two bridesmaid.
And fucking Fleur says, oh, that stonks. Have you seen her? She's really let herself go.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck it, Leo. Leave it out, mate. Leave it out. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Yeah, I guess maybe when you've just been fawned over your whole life for how beautiful you are and, like, every male person you've ever met has just tripped over themselves trying to please you and whatever, you just are sort of full of yourself to the extent that your self-consciousness doesn't really, self-awareness doesn't really manifest in the same way.
I guess so, yeah, because I guess she's just used to, she hasn't got to put any effort into looking... the way that she does.
No. And I think that... And so with that, and, you know, with her sort of villainness, there's a certain amount of, you know, just getting whatever she wants all the time. And I feel like... Because, you know, normal people, if they're staying with their in-laws-to-be for a few days, you filter what you say at least a little bit.
Yeah, I guess she has never had the need to have a filter.
No.
Because if someone doesn't like her, she's just like, oh, it's okay, I'm beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think any... Well, I mean, like, it seems like women mostly don't like... Maybe women have just spoken to her scornfully her entire life. And so she just thinks this is normal. And men have tripped and fawned over her. And that's just the way she thinks interactions with the different sexes work.
I think that's such a valid point, you know. Anyway, we hear beep, beep, and fucking, yes, ministry cars.
Yeah, and they take him to the bloody station.
Yeah. Also, I just thought that why isn't the Wizarding Nightclub called the Ministry of Magic? You know, like Ministry of Sound?
Yeah, yeah, but you said the Wizarding Nightclub as if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Is it a thing?
No, but I want it to be.
So why isn't there a Wizarding Nightclub called the Ministry of Magic?
Yeah, that'd be fucking sick. Oh, mate, can we make it happen?
I mean, I feel like I'm not going to be a wholehearted participant in that venture.
I think you would be, because Wizarding Clubs, I feel like, would be the kind of clubs that you would like.
What kind of music does it play?
Like wizard music.
Can
like
we have different
rock
floors? One with your music and one with my music.
Yeah, so the one with your music can just be a roped off section outside. Yeah, so they get to King's Cross, and before they get on the train, Harry's like, oh, shall I find us a cabin or whatever? And Ron and Hermione, like, they're like, oh, we got to fuck off and do prefect duty. So we got to report to someone and then, like, parade the, parade the corridors. Not parade. What's that word where you go up and down?
March.
No, no, Tom. Not Marge.
Patrol.
Yes, we call it duck stepping now.
We're making far too many references to that.
I know, I can't help it. Yeah, they have to patrol the corridors and make sure that everyone's behaving themselves.
Yes. Before they get on the train, Harry takes Mr. Weasley aside and tells him all about what he saw Malfoy doing in Nocturne Alley, and Mr. Weasley basically dismisses it in the same way Ron and Hermione did.
Yeah.
So
he's like, Harry, do you really think you know who would hire a 16-year-old? And Harry's like, I mean, funny, but does anyone really know what you know who would do?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, good fucking point.
Yeah.
Harry, you're talking my language, mate. You know, that CF language. Yes, I too agree they should have striped pajamas. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm really impressed with how seriously Harry is taking all of this and his suspicions and how he's trying to inform the right people, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, I think he's going about it in a very mature way, and I hate that no one fucking takes him seriously at all.
Yeah.
Malfoy's 16. It's not like he's 11 and being recruited. 16 is like...
Yeah. Also, what makes them think that Voldemort wouldn't recruit a 16-year-old?
Yeah, exactly. Because all his, like, band of followers were probably about that age when he recruited them at high school, so...
Yeah.
What's the big deal?
I mean, is it because he only allows, like, the most skilled wizards into his inner circle of actual Death Eaters?
I don't think so, because none of them seem particularly skilled, apart from Bellatrix.
Yeah.
And it's like, it would be different if Harry was like, do you know what, I feel like Dean Thomas or Ernie McMillan had been recruited. Because it'd be like, why would you think that? But Malfoy's dad was a Death Eater. They all know his family's into the dark arts.
Yeah, Malfoy is proper Voldemort, like openly Voldemort-y.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you just at least think, oh, it's a possibility?
Yeah.
It's just bananas to me. And fucking like, auras are only like, say like Tonks, she's what, like 20, 21? Like, that's not that much older than Malfoy, and she fights on the side of good. She's in the Order, so why wouldn't it be like, you know, it just, oh, anyway. Yeah, that got my nerves.
Yeah. Harry does his best to avoid all the stares and whispers as he gets on the train.
Yeah, so he takes the elevator instead. Ah, ba da 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 da. Oh, I wish I might start having my phone ready so I could like screen record Tom's facial reactions. It's exactly how, as you might imagine.
Yeah, he meets Neville and Luna.
Nuna or Level.
Yep, exactly.
Yes. Longbottom and Lovegood. They've both got L names.
Lovebottom.
Lovebottom and Longgood.
So Neville's got a new wand. And he says it was one of the last ones bought from Ollivander, and he disappeared like the day after selling it to him. And I couldn't remember if that was actually relevant or not.
No, the date is not like relevant. Yeah. It's just the fact that
It's relevant that Ollivander is gone. But
yeah, what I think is more relevant is that fucking after all these years, his gran has deemed him worthy enough to get a new fucking
his own
wand.
Maybe he can actually cast some fucking spells now.
Yeah, like oh god, that poor boy.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, she's such an awful woman.
What, is Nan or JK Rowling?
Sorry, whichever one shouts at him for masturbating too much. So if I catch him masturbating again, I'm going to make you hold it out and I'll cut it off. And it's like, no, Gran! You'll never be like your father. He didn't need to masturbate, you see. He had crochet down to an art. It was like, oh, I'll be a good crocheter one day. She's like, I haven't got a finish it for that. let's think of one. Venice Land got on the banister and slid down.
And then gets their tits out and fucking squirts them all over the situation. And then everyone goes, well, that's that. Job done.
Oh, look, Hitler's here. There we go. Complete poorly read joke for you there.
It was Hitler's tits all along. There we go.
Oh my god. Fucking hell.
So
how is that not like a bakery item?
What, Hitler's tits? I mean, we can add it to our roster of poorly read sweet treats.
Oh yeah. But in a way that people don't think we're glamorizing him.
Yeah, people don't think we're promoting hate speech.
Oh god, maybe just like it can be like a boob and we put like a little mustache under the areola and then some googly eyes and then like a confused like face.
And they're like, yeah, it's a good Hitler joke. I can see how they've made it tasteful. All right, Romil Devane comes up and introduces herself.
Yeah, she's like, do you want to have a look at my Hitler's dick? And he's like, no, thanks. I don't like hairy areolas.
Even if it does make a fun little moustache.
Yeah. And she's like, Harry, why don't you come and sit in my carriage? Grow up, Tom. And you don't have to sit with them.
Yeah.
She points at Luna and Neville.
Yeah. And he's all like, they're my friends, actually. So take your fucking sliding carriage door and elsewhere.
Yeah. And then Luna's like, oh, she expects you to have cooler friends than us. And he's like, you are cool. They weren't at the ministry. None of them fought with me. And Luna's like, oh, that's very nice of you. And it's like, that is very nice of him.
Yeah.
Oh, John, we didn't mention is that Neville asks about the DA. And he's like, are we doing it again this year? And Harry's like, nah, mate. And Luna's like, oh, but I love the DA. It was like having friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's the bit that made me cry.
Yeah, I thought it might have been.
Yeah. Yet again, Tom's facial reaction.
What? I remained stony and straight-faced.
Well, I liked it. Yeah. And apparently Neville's gran has been going on about Harry and what a good little boy he is and how he's the kind of grandson she wished she had and how if she could have traded them, she would have.
Mm.
And how sometimes she dreams about cutting Neville's hair really badly and sticking green paint in his eyes and pretending that he's Harry as she breastfeeds him. And Neville's like... Every night, Harry, she does this. We have our dinner and then we have our half an hour of Harry talk. What's Neville's gran's name?
McGonagall says it at some point in these three chapters, but I think that's the first time we've heard it. Her name's Augusta.
Augusta. Augusta Gloop. Augusta Gloop. The great big greedy nincompoop. Yeah.
The very same.
Yeah, so Luna's like, no, Harry, Neville says something that makes
no,
Harry
Luna,
go,
wait, Ron.
No, like Neville, when Neville's talking, he says something that like triggers Harry and Harry gets all like distant and stuff. And Luna's like, oh, did a Raxpert fly into your head? And he's like, what? And she's like, oh, I thought I saw one here earlier. And she starts, in JK's words, beating off invisible moths.
Just with her thumb and forefinger.
Can you imagine just seeing a lesson and McGonagall was like, Miss Lovegood, what are you doing?
Like, I'm just beating off these invisible moths.
Oh, really? I thought you were playing the world's smallest violin.
Yeah.
No, some guy appears and he's like, got a delivery for Harry and Neville.
Yeah. And this is the first of two instances in this set of chapters of just random students being asked to deliver messages to other random students by teachers. Like, when did this become a thing?
When is the second instance?
Harry gets a note from Dumbledore talking about when his first private lesson's going to be. and it just gets delivered to him by some random student.
That is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, like, this hasn't happened before. They're just, like, delivery students now.
Do you think maybe that's a new badge that Dumbledore's been giving out?
Yeah, courier.
Yeah, what's like, a magical name for it?
Don't know, all I can think of is Hermes, but that's already been used.
Maybe we can call him, like, oh, fuck, I was going to say, like, owl posters, but that's shit.
Owl post again.
APA. No, OPA. Oppa.
Oppa.
Yeah, but he go, Oppa. And I was like, duh, 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 duh. No, no, it's not the right word. I'm doing the can-can music.
That's what happens when you're one of these delivery students. You have to charge into the room. As soon as you see the person you're delivering, you have to go, Oppa. Then the music kicks up.
Yeah, so you swing from a Greek exclamation to a French dance that you have to do in crotchless pants. There yep. we go.
Is can-can French?
Yeah. Huh. The can-can used to be like a battle, and you'd often be doing it in like crotchless underwear, and people would get like, well, the girls would get like injured and stuff, like by the other girls, because you would literally like charge into each other doing this like ferocious dance.
Wow.
It's quite exciting, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, when you said it was exciting, all I could the only joke I could think to make was that, yeah, well, the crotchless panties bit sounds exciting. But then I realised that's not really a joke, is it?
It is just a statement of my feelings.
Yeah.
Gifton, I think the crotchless panties bit is exciting. Like, okay, so...
Yeah, whenever I'm stuck for something to say now, I'm just going to tell you something that I find exciting. Yeah.
Right, so yeah, Harry and Neville been invited to Slughorn's compartment.
Yeah.
So everyone in the fucking room is someone Harry's never met before, it seems.
Yeah, pretty much. People with famous and fancy connections.
Yeah.
Who Slughorn's trying to, you know, get in there with.
He's got McLaggen, Cormac McLaggen, Ginny, Marcus Bellby, and then some other wangs.
Yeah, Zabini Blaze.
Yeah, who makes up these names? So yeah, they have little conversations. Slughorn's like, who is your daddy and what does he do?
And Harry's like, that line of questioning gets thrown around a lot.
I know, and it's always appropriate whenever I bring it up.
Yeah, he tries to winkle details about the ministry kerfuffle out of Harry, and Harry's having none of it.
Yeah, Harry's like, look, I went there, my godfather died, and then I came home, mate.
Yeah, don't ask me any more questions about how he died. Unless you want a trip to the ministry.
And Slughorn's like, oh, I went to the Ministry of Magic plenty in my day. So you're back then, oh, Thursday nights.
Mm. I took plenty of godfathers to the ministry, let me tell you.
Oh god, and then the dragon pox crisis hit and all that carefree love stopped. Alas, now it's just me and my crystallized pineapple.
How do you think I crystallize it, Harry?
So what do you do, Harry?
I didn't ask, sir. No.
Anyway, so Zabini leaves, as they all do, but Harry has a little bright idea and follows Zabini back into the Slytherin cabin. Or the Slytherin cabin that Malfoy's in, at least.
Yeah, and he basically fucks it up. He struggles to get through the door and reveals his shoe and makes a bloody mess of it.
Well, luckily the shoe, because I thought the shoe was the thing that gave him away, and it wasn't, luckily, because Harry has his cloak on him, as Dumbledore ordered. Mm. So he puts it on and gets into the carriage by blocking the door, and then he jumps up onto the luggage rack, and he thinks that Malfoy might have seen his trainer, but Malfoy kind of doesn't really do anything. But then at the end, like, Malfoy starts talking about, like, Voldemort stuff, but nothing, like, massive anyway, really. He just says, I might even be here next year because if the Dark Lord takes over, do you think he's going to give a shit about owls and newts and shit?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then he says that maybe the job he wants me to do isn't something you even need to be qualified for.
Yes, as long as you've got a willing mouth. I wonder why it's called a blow job. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I mean, a suck job is obviously a much better name for it.
I might look into that and just see why. There must be a reason for it.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those ironic things, like how bad can mean good.
Yeah, or maybe Blow was the last name of the first person who, like, popularised it in, like, Victorian England or something.
Been to see old Blow, have you?
Yeah, oh, have you been to see Gary Blow?
Ah, oh yes. Got myself a blowjob.
So yeah, and at the end, I think someone, I wish I could remember what fucking happened. Someone gets something off the luggage rack or something, or puts something there, and Harry makes a ooh sound, and Malfoy hears it. So then after everyone leaves, Malfoy turns around and goes, Petrificus Totalus! And then Harry's body falls off the luggage rack.
Fucking gets him.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I've always wanted you paralysed.
Of course he does.
Of course. How else could this chapter end, Tom?
Yes, yeah, so with that person incapacitated in the school they're at, what do they think's going to happen?
Malfoy just rips off his jeans and plants himself in Harry's rear, and Harry's like, weird enough, being Petrificus means it didn't hurt as much as usual, alas.
But it still hurt a hell of a lot.
It hurt his pride. And Betty's like, I wouldn't have said anything that you would have could have done anything with anyway, Potter. You're a fucking idiot, and here's my foot. And then he foots him, Tom, didn't he?
He gives him a foot job.
Yeah, foots him right in the face. Foot yep. Face. Face foot. Fur.
Feet, he sells him feet pics.
It's like, yeah, 10 galleons for a Polaroid, 20 for a video. And he's like, what if I won the live thing? Mouth was like, oh. Oh, okay, we can do it for a memory. And I was like, which memory do you want? He's like, you know, it's right. I'll give you a hint. No, not Harry. Please, not Harry. Yeah. Oh, no, not that one. Yeah, so he covers Harry in his cloak, and then he's like, oh, you'll be halfway back to London before they even realise that you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then chapter, single fat lady.
Yeah. Snape victorious.
That's what it was. I was trying to think of what the title was because I wrote Snape triumphant, but that was like after the fact because I missed it. Alas. Yeah, so Tonks comes aboard the train.
Yeah, and is it ever revealed how she knew he was there?
Yeah, she was like, I was waiting for you to get off the train because I meant to sort of kind of be like sort of be like your shadow until you get into the castle. So when you didn't come off, I was like, he must still be in the toilet. So they go up to the school and the gates are locked and they're protected by magic.
Yeah, she has fixed his nose and she has sent a Patronus off up to the castle to send for someone to come down and get Harry. And it was supposed to be Hagrid.
But who is it? It's Severus Snap.
Severus Snappy.
Yeah.
Just his...
It's you, Potter.
That's how you know Snape's coming.
Yeah, it's in the distance. You can like.
It's you, Potter.
And he's like, "Oh, Potty Wee Potter, what have you done?"
And he's like, Nymphadora, I noticed that your Patronus is a bit shit.
Yeah, I was a bit lost by that.
Basically, she's fallen in love with Lupin for some plot device over the summer. And because Lupin's like, look, I don't want to be with someone who could look like Cindy Crawford on a good day, but decides to look like a fucking washerwoman instead.
Because Lupin is awful.
Yeah. Why deny me such saccharine pleasures? And Tonks like, oh no, but what if I'm like Cindy Crawford on Fridays? And he's like, no. Cindy Crawford on Fridays, and I want you to look like Diane Abbott on the rest of the day.
So I like that Cindy Crawford was your like go-to hot woman.
Well, I think that's for like the last time I probably got aroused by one. No, yeah, Lupin's like, look, I can't be with someone who's he doesn't want to have a baby with her, basically.
Oh.
And she's like, look, who's fucking talking about babies?
Babies.
Babies. All I want to talk about is having a quick wolf around the back of the pub on a Saturday night.
Going for quick wolfing.
If I hold a Jaffa cake up, will that inspire you? He's like, <"God." laughs> Do you have a television too, I see? Alas, yeah, that's the sole reason. It's fucking stupid. Why introduce this relationship like a book before the end? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was going to have Snape saying your new Patronus looks weak, you are better off with the old one. I figured that had some sort of a more profound impact on the plot.
No, so her original Patronus was a Combine Harvester, and then this one.
This one's one of those, like, horse-pulled plows.
This one's just a lame donkey, and he's like...
A little donkey.
Yeah. Carrie, Mary. Oh, fuck it. I can't remember the rest of the fucking words.
Yeah, me neither. Carrie, Mary.
She's like, oh, don't start a song if you're not prepared to finish it, Snape. And he's like, fuck you, you look like shit. Yeah. And she's like, oh, says you. And he's like, yes, says me. I look like a beautiful princess. Oh, God. Anyway, Tonks is like, yeah, I meant for Hagrid to get it.
Yeah, Snape's like, Hagrid was late to the feast, just like Potter.
Yeah, so then Tonks is a bit apprehensive, but she's like, okay. So Snape takes Harry and he's like, oh, you little fucking prick. Bet you thought you could make a nice, lovely entrance, didn't you?
Harry's like, yeah. You ruined it now, you greasy prick.
And Snape's like, oh, you're just like your father. Well, no, you're not just like him, because you're alive and he's 6 foot under, but you're as much like him as you can be while still being alive. Except you have your mother's eyes. I know, because I keep hers in my pocket. Look. He's like, ah! Oh, God.
You might say, I have your mother's eyes, Harry.
Do you know what, Harry? They fit so nicely inside as well. Do you know what it's like to know that Lily is seeing the man that you truly are underneath it all?
She's seen my inner beauty, Harry.
And Harry's like, oh, God.
Why did I want to come back to this school?
I forgot over the summer.
And I've got to have private lessons with Dumbledore this year as well.
Don't worry, Harry. I've set up a video camera, so I shall be able to partake, but from afar. But don't worry, I'll hang your mother's eyes over the door frame. Oh, anyway, so Snape takes fucking 70 points from Gryffindor.
Yeah.
And Harry just remains silent. And I was like, oh, God, how do you not just lose your shit? Like, what's Harry scared of, really? What is Snape going to do if he just tells him to fuck off?
Well, what's that going to achieve? Yeah, exactly.
Just make me feel good before I go to bed at night. Like, yeah, I told Snape to fuck off today.
Yeah, so he sits next to Ron and Hermione in the Great Hall, and they're all like, bloody hell, have you got shit all over your face.
Yeah, you're all covered in muck. Where is that from? Because we say that a lot.
I've no idea. I thought you got it from somewhere.
No, I did, but I don't know where. I just know it's a reference, but I don't know where from.
Well, I don't know.
We're such wankers. Literally been using the same reference for like 50 episodes. We have no idea where it's from. Just because we both assume that the other knew. Yeah, but Hermione goes, Tergio, and all the... Because Harry's covered in blood, of course.
Yes.
Which is weird that Snape didn't look at that and think, oh, maybe there's a good reason he's late.
Yeah. Maybe it's dark.
That's true. Maybe he just thought that Harry was wearing camouflage stuff.
So we can look cool. Just thought he'd been toilet diving again.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he'd been nugget gobbling.
Oh, fucking hell.
I see you've been prospecting again, Harry.
And Harry looks over and he can see that Malfoy's talking about the event at the Slytherin table and everyone's guffawing over it.
Guffaw. Yeah. Like that. Yeah, Dumbledore stands up and does his speech, and people mutter about his hand and he just sort of covers it up, and I'm like, he could have just worn a glove or just thought to keep it in his robe from the beginning.
Yeah. He should have just worn like a little Mickey Mouse glove. He should have worn a Michael Jackson glove, really.
Yeah. I'm talking about what he really should have done.
Yeah. He should have just worn like a baseball mitt. He's like, I thought I'd be a bit more efficient at catching balls this year.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, huh. But it's just like a silence, but like a...
And he's like, you may not be impressed now, but wait till I summon each of you to my office.
With this glove I can hold 5 at a time. Make it round to home base. Everyone's like, God, why are we here?
It's just leaning over to the first year. It's like, it'll be fine, it'll be finished in a minute. Just
yes, the sorting will take place in my office this year.
And then do you want to do the big announcement?
Yes. And in the role of Potions Master, we have Professor Salazar Gorn, a good old friend of mine.
And everyone's like, Potions Master?
Yeah, holy fuck. And then he's like, and much to your chagrin, guess who's taking over Defense Against the Dark Arts? And then he's like, snap. And then Harry's like, no. And Hermione just turns to look at him and puts her fingers in his mouth. It's like, no.
Hermione's like, oh, fucking yeah, mate. Fucking taste them fingers, you little bitch.
Yeah, it tastes like a fish sarnie.
We've been robbing ourselves stupid this whole time.
Just love looking at his little black hand.
I like how that Scouse Hermione is like completely separate to Nazi Hermione.
Yeah!
She's just not the same person at all.
So fucking true. Oh my god, yeah, fucking Snape's been made the Dada Master.
Yes, the Master of Dadas.
Yeah.
Which everyone's like, gulp.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Because Snape's deep-throwing them. I know. I almost wanted to stop myself before I even said that.
So at the end, Ron asks about his nose.
Oh, yeah, and Harry tells him. And Ron's still not particularly impressed with Malfoy and his claims.
Yeah, Ron doesn't take him seriously when Harry's like, I think he's a deaf eater.
No.
I think he's eating deaf.
He's eating deaf.
I think he's eating out deaf girls. It's like, oh, that's what you mean. Yeah, yeah, man, I'm totally on board.
Yeah. Ironically, they tend to be the noisiest. So then... And then as they're leaving the Great Hall, they hear... And they're like, oh, fucking hell.
And then Hagrid's like, Harry, good to see you. Harry's like, what?
Oh, yeah, they have a little catch-up with Hagrid, and he says, oh, he got carried away with Grawp. He's come along hugely. You wouldn't believe the difference. He's thinking of training him as an assistant.
Yeah, I think about training him up as a Death Eater. Because at the moment, he just tends to eat them. And he's like, I'm like, no, Grawp.
He has trouble between the distinction between literally and figuratively sometimes.
I took him to the care home and whoops-a-daisy, it was like a fucking massacre. But I was like, it's all right, we'll just try again next week.
Plenty more care homes, Harry. And then Hagrid leaves, yeah. And they all feel guilty because they realise that none of them are going to take care of magical creatures this year.
Yeah, because doesn't Harry go, I didn't take it, did you? And then I think Ron goes, no, I didn't either.
Yeah.
And I bet you didn't either, Hermione. And she's like, no, I didn't. I took double muggle studies this year. right, so then it steamrolls into chapter 9.
The Half-Blood Prince.
Ron thinks Malfoy is bullshitting and Hermione is a bit unsure.
Yeah, Harry, he's looking for reassurance from Hermione and she's all like, well, she's not as utterly convinced as Ron is that Harry's wrong.
Yes, like, Harry, I can see how he would be a Death Eater, but I don't know how he would be a Death Eater. Unless he found a way to combine the two.
Kills the deaf person, then carries out the axe. Sorts out the noise problem as well.
This way, no one can hear. Harry's like, oh, I wish you'd stayed on the train. And then Hermione's like, I wish you'd stayed on the train.
You know which train I'm talking about, Harry.
Anyway, Hermione confiscates a fanged frisbee from a younger student who runs by. And the student doesn't do anything, which I found super weird.
Well, she's a prefect.
No, but it doesn't have any reaction. The student just gives it to her and then carries on. And I'm like... That's like a robotic response. That's not a real student. That's a prop student that Hermione has put there just to like demonstrate her authority.
Yeah, just to illustrate her character a little bit.
Yeah, she's like, look, I'll give you, I don't know, what's a good sweet? I'll give you a nose-bitey chocolate raisin. That's a new Wizarding sweet. It's not selling very well, but yeah.
Yeah, between you and me, I don't think they got the branding particularly right. But
yeah, she don't put brown things on packaging.
Everyone knows that.
Anyway, when you see me coming down the corridor, you run past me and I'm going to take this from you and you look perplexed and then you carry on. Do you understand me, boy? And Flitwick is like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so Ron takes it and he's like, oh, I always wanted one of these. And Lavender Brown sees as she walks past and laughs and gives him like a little wink.
Corruption. Corruption at the top.
Yeah.
And they get their timetables. And at the point at which McGonagall was going around handing out their timetables, she's looking at the results from the OWLs she got, thinking, well, you can't really take this. Can you take this? You've had the whole fucking summer holidays to do that.
What the fuck?
Why are they doing that at the point where they're handing out timetables? That makes no sense at all.
Super fucking weird. Because even if you can magic up a timetable, it's not really. It just seemed bizarre that you wouldn't let someone know if they. It seems bizarre that you didn't select your lessons. No, you must have had to select your lessons before you left for the summer.
Yeah, and that the timetables hadn't been worked out ahead of time.
Yeah, so why wouldn't, after you got, like, say, a couple of days after you got your hour results, that you got a letter saying whether or not, like, if you couldn't take your chosen lessons, a letter saying, like, giving you a list of the lessons that you could take, and then to respond with these substitutions that you want to make or something, you know?
Yeah, although to be fair, the criteria seems to change depending on who the professor is. And the potions master wasn't assigned until the day before their results came out.
That's which, a good like, point.
I suppose would technically still be fine, but if staff appointments can change that last minute, like...
I mean, to be fair, we're saying this, but... I mean, it's quite a speedy system.
I mean, it did work, but I feel like it only worked because it's a fantasy book. Yeah, it would be probably a logistical nightmare in real life.
Yeah, so Harry goes up to get his timetable and McGonagall's like, you're not taking potions, I see.
Oh, yeah. Thought you wanted to be an aura.
No, I wanted to be an oral. And she's like, what's that? He's like, well, first you're an oral and then you're a Death Eater. Oh god. Now she's like, you did need an O when Professor Snap was taking the class, but now Slughorn's doing it, he's perfectly happy to take and exceed expectations. And I was like, fucking brilliant.
But I ain't got any of the gear.
And she's like, well, if you meet me round back, I'll give you some of mine. I was like, no, I meant a pair of weighing scales. She's like, yeah, I've got those too. Like, no. <Yeah. laughs> No, I meant a potions book, yes. Like, no, I'm gonna go.
I mean, like a brewing ingredients kit. Like, yes.
Fine.
Yeah, let's go fucking get high, whatever.
Yeah, you can bring your ginger friend. Yeah, and him and Ron just get the same time tables. And then that day, they have like three blank sessions. Not blank sessions, that sounds weird. A free period.
Yeah, they have a free period now, one after break and one after lunch.
Isn't that the whole day?
Yeah. Like, how many periods are in a day? Five at my school. So they go to Defense Against the Dark Arts with Snape.
And Dark Arts.
The fucking Dark Arts. And he's predictably all evil and spooky.
Yeah.
Like, fetishizing the Dark Arts.
Yeah, he's like, the Dark Arts are like a seductive temptress that lures you into the back of the tavern. You don't want to go, but you do, and then she closes the curtain, and then before you know it, you're missing your wallet, a left testicle and an eyebrow, but you still come back for more. And then he just like rubbing himself on the edge of the desk. And Harry's like, he didn't like the way that Snape talked about Dark Arts. With a loving caress. Yeah, so in that lesson they're going to talk about non-verbal spells. Actually, no, that's an oxymoron. No, they're going to practice non-verbal spells.
Yes, jinx each other and deflect it silently.
Yes. I brought in some Death Eaters. Yeah. But yeah, Snake's like, what is it? What is the advantage of using non-verbal spells? And Hermione's like, please, sir, because you can you give the element of surprise. Then he's like, an answer copied directly from the Dark Arts book, spell 1, 2, and 3, or whatever it is. I don't know.
Standard book of spells, grade 6, sir.
Oh, well done, Tom.
Fuck off, Granger, you.
Fuck off, Granger, otherwise I'll pop your eardrum so you can stand in the queue with the others.
Then you'll never have any warning whether people eat cast verbal spells or not.
No, you can't have a dog.
So it gets towards the end of the lesson and Snape goes to demonstrate non-verbal spells on Harry, but before he can, Harry immediately protegos with such force that it blasts Snape.
Snape's robes off.
Blasts his robes off.
Looking like a pale inner tube.
With a little windsock.
Oh, God. And he goes, do you remember me telling you we were practicing non-naked spells, Potter?
He says, yes. He says, yes, sir. No need to call me sir, Professor. And the whole class is like, oh!
Yeah, and the Snake is like a month's detention.
He doesn't give him a month's detention. He just gives him a detention.
A detention, and you will have to deaf eat with a blindfold. So many sensory deprivations.
You always keep taste, though, Harry.
It's important, Harry, you see.
Oh, I can't make that joke. I'm sorry. I was gonna just. Oh no! Sorry.
No, I want to hear it.
It makes no sense. I'm just gonna be like,
you see, Harry, when you when you lose your hearing, the pungency of your vagina increases. You see, like eating a slab of blue cheese.
I was like, why? Why are you saying that? Oh my god.
All right, okay. Oh. Where are we? Oh yeah, and then so they get out of potions, and someone a chap by the name of Sloper was one of the beaters who replaced Fred and George on the Gryffindor Quidditch team the previous year.
Do you think he was called something else, but due to, like, bludger damage, he now has a limp and a caved-in skull? Now we call him Sloper.
So he approaches and Harry's like, all right, Sloper. And he's like, please don't call me that.
No, please don't call me that. I got a message from Albus Dumbledore. And he's like, you need a tissue there, Sloper. No, it's okay. Controlling our saliva is difficult for all of us.
On you go, Sloper.
No, to your right, your other right. There we go. Oh, someone help him down the stairs, for Christ's sake. Oh, good old Sloper.
Oh, I hope he comes up again in this book. I enjoyed that.
Oh, my God. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, and it's an invitation from Dumbledore for the first of his private lessons, and it clashes with Snape's detention, so Harry's like, ha, can't do Snape's detention anymore.
Yeah, because the lesson's on Saturday.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore's like, I enjoy acid, and Harry's like, good, I'll bring you a couple of tabs. Yeah. And Dumbledore's like, wunderbar. And Hermione's like, what did he say? No, he likes acid pops. And Ron's like, what the fuck does that mean? And Harry's like, it's his fucking password.
You dick.
Yeah, and then they go to DP and there's a potion. So that's a weird... I jumped in. I just basically read out that note, and that's not how you do a podcast.
I know. I do that too. So, dungeons for potions. It smells awesome. That's the exact note I've written.
I wrote, they go to double potions and there's a potion with one of the most seductive smells he's ever smelled. It smells like ginny, basically. Oh, good. No, they go to double potion.
Harry immediately pierces his eardrums to intensify it.
Quick, give me your dog. Right. They get double potions and Slughorn's in there, and there's quite a few potions like bubbling away on Bunsen burners.
Yep.
I don't know, do they have Bunsen burners in the magic world?
They're probably, you know, Merlin burners.
Oh my god, mate, that needs to be something. A Merlin burner. Fuck it out.
Flame comes out of the top of his pointed hat.
Oh my god, I love it. Yeah, and Harry's like, sir, me and Ron ain't got any potion stuff because we didn't know we could take the class. And he's like, oh, not to worry, here, take this and take that and any other boy band you can think of.
Get your equipment so you can get in sync with the rest of the class.
oh, I've got a special area cordoned out for you. It's called the boy zone.
Which side of the classroom do you want to sit on, Harry? West Life or East 17?
Look, Harry, I'm only pointing you in one direction, okay?
All right, I think that's all the boy bands. Harry, sorry.
How many? How many potions are boiling on the burners?
I think there are four. Well, there's like three that are together and one sort of off to the side. It's Veritas Serum, Polyjuice Potion, and Amortentia.
Yeah, and then the last.
And then the one that's off to the side that he was like waiting for someone to ask him about is the Felix Felices.
Yeah, yeah. He asks what they are, and Hermione fucking answers every single one.
And the Slughorn realizes who Harry must have been talking about when he said, "Oh, one of your best friends is Muggleborn." Oh no, that's it. She says her name's Hermione Granger, and he's like, "Oh, related to the famous whatever witch Granger that made this fucking fancy potions thing." And she's like, "No, I don't think so. I'm Muggleborn." And then he's like, "Ah, this must be your friend Harry, who you said was the best in your year."
Yeah, and Harry's like, "Yeah, that's her." And she's like, "You said I was the best in my year, Harry." And he's like, "Oh, let me sit on this Bunsen burner."
This what? I'm sorry, it's Merlin burner.
Yes, turning up full heat. Just like, whoa.
You need to brown the flaps, Harry.
It's like, oh yeah, my auntie does that.
Yeah. I recommend a coal fire. That might be the weirdest joke. That whole Petunia sitting on a coal fire thing.
I don't even know how I got into that, but I don't know how I get to any of this stuff. Like, no. Why did we even start talking about the fire? Oh, it was because of the Arthur Weasley thing.
Bursting in through the fire. Yeah. Back in the halcyon days of Goblet of Fire.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, so he's like, "So what's this one?" And Hermione's like, "Oh, that's Amortentia. That's the strongest love potion ever." And he's like, "Ah." And she's like, "Yes, and it smells differently according to what attracts us. So, for instance, I can smell freshly mowed grass and parchment and...
train tracks."
And he's like, "Well, done." And then Harry's like, "Huh."
Yeah, Slughorn gives Hermione 20 points for being good at potions. Something Snape would never have done. And the Slytherins are all like,
Yeah, because Malfoy's like, "What the fuck?" Because he thought that Slughorn, because Slughorn is a Slytherin as well. Because Slughorn used to be head of Slytherin House.
Yeah, Malfoy's all like butthurt that he wasn't invited to Slughorn's carriage on the train and is now, and at some point during this lesson, he's like, "Oh, I think, do you know my grandfather, Abraxas Malfoy?" And Slughorn's like, yes. Well, sorry to hear he died. And then just sort of moves on. Malfoy's like...
Anyway, so he's like, what's this lovely potion of golden gummy dropness? And Hermione's like, oh my God, it's Nazi gold. And he's like, no. She's like, it's a liquid luck. And he's like, yes, this is Felix. Not the cat food, this is Felicis. And everyone's like, He's like, it's liquid luck. One drop of this, you find it, all of your endeavours tend to work out perfectly.
Yes. And he does. There is a bit of explanation about, I guess J.K. Rowling's finally starting to identify the inevitable questions that fans will have about the ridiculous shit she introduces to the world.
But don't you feel like the explanation of why it can go bad wasn't very good? Or wasn't enough, rather?
It wasn't very full, but then, like...
Because he's like, so too much can cause recklessness, giddiness, and dangerous amount of overconfidence. Too much is highly toxic, you know, too much of a good thing. And it's like, she should have said that, like, if you take it too often, it turns your luck sour. It should be like, if you have too much of this, the unexpected consequences start to appear by, like, the clashing of the good fortunes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that would be so that you end up fucking yourself over if you have too much. Then, so it's like a real reason why you can't, you know, that would make sense to me. Alas. Spoon. But yeah, someone's like, oh, have you ever taken it, sir? And it's like, yes, once when I was 23, once when I was 52. Two somethings. Two ordinary days.
Two perfect days.
Yeah, but he says like two somethings, two perfect days.
Yeah, I don't know. Two doses.
I don't know. Two...
insertions.
Two perfect days. Two testicles, two perfect days. Two deaf eaters, two perfect days. Yeah, and then he's like, so, what I'm offering to whoever can make the best batch of living of the Killy Draft is 12 hours
worth. We finally arrived at the Killy Draft. Like an episode one joke.
Oh, God. And Hermione's like, that's weird. That's what I was going to call my manifesto, but...
Yeah, you get a dose of this luck potion. And so they all get to work, and Harry cracks open his book. And sees it's all bloody filled up with scribbles and notes. Yeah, Harry decides to follow the handwritten instructions at the end. So, like, one of the beans or something you need to cut with a knife, but then the handwritten instructions say,
flick it!
Flick it and poke out our eardrums.
And Hermione's like, no, it says to do it like this. And Harry's like, whoa, I'm going to do it like this.
Hold still.
And at once, Harry's potion turned bright green. Yeah, he says, like, instead of cutting it, squish it.
Yeah, and was amazed at the amount of juice that came out when he was doing it.
Yeah. Anyways, yes, the Slughorn fucking looks at all their potions. He doesn't like Malfoy's. He doesn't like anyone's. And he looks at Hermione and goes, hmm. And he sees Harry, and he's like, oh, Harry.
Oh, sorry, I've just got made a mess in your potion.
Oh, it's useless now, anyway. Yeah, he's like, oh, my boy, you clearly have some of your mother's talent.
Yes.
You've got her eyes, you know.
I don't. Snape's got them, actually.
I know he lent them to me last night.
Let me bend over and spread, give you a little peep at her.
I was going to wear them as earrings tomorrow. What do you think, Harry?
So, yeah, Harry gets the little bottle of Felix Felicis and cut to the Great Hall. And Ginny's all worried about Harry taking instructions from a mysterious book.
Yeah, he's like, and you're taking instructions from a thing. We have no idea where it's from or what it's about or if it's got a brain inside it or if it's not or if it's deaf or if it's hard of hearing. They're the same thing. And Harry drops it and he goes to pick it up and he sees on the back it says, this book is the property of the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, da da.
And Harry's like, where did that come from?
Oh, God. So that brings us to the end of this episode.
Yes, it does. What a ride it was.
What a ride.
Got the train to Hogwarts.
Oh, thank God. I was a bit unsure of its destination.
Thank God Hermione wasn't in charge.
I'm already a bit like, oh God, because whenever I listen to this book, I always stop it after they come back from the cave. Because the whole end bit where Harry thinks that Snape's bad and he's not, like, it's so, like, it's so much effort to get through. Like, when you know that Snape isn't bad, you know?
I'm not really sure what you're talking about, to be honest. I mean, vaguely, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it's like when you knew that Sirius wasn't bad, that's getting through bits of Azkaban was like, oh, for fuck's sake. So yeah. When you know that Snape is not a bad guy, the stuff he does at the end of that book is really, for me, it's like difficult to get through because it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, it feels like a trudge to get through it.
Right.
And it's a bit like,
So stay tuned, everyone. Look forward to that.
Oh, God, I'm sure we'll make up a completely alternate fucking ending anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check us out on Instagram, where some of our posts are still there, at PoilyRedPod. Check us out on Twitter at PoilyRedPod. Email us at PoilyRed@gmail.com. And give us 5 stars and a quirky review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes. And something that we probably should have mentioned during this episode before the very, very end, in 2 days' time, our Patreon is going to be up and live, as is our first line of merchandise.
Yes, exclusive poorly read designs that we should be launching on Redbubble. So get your credit cards and your sphincters ready. Anyway, I've been Gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.
Yeah, Hagrid's been Hagrid. That's fine. It's just a good catchphrase to fall back on.
It's a classic.
Bye.
Goodbye.